glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends. I'm your host, Donna Leland. And today we talk with Paul Gutteker. And Paul has written his latest book, It's Practicing Life Together, A Common Rule for Christian Growth. Welcome to Mark and Friends, Paul.
Hi, Donna. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, the title of your book really caught me because there's this old saying I remember hearing right as I came to know the Lord. It says, to dwell above with saints we love. Ah, that will be glory. But to live below with saints we know? Now, that's another story. And I just really feel, that your publication is going to help us work through that because we are called together and don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But sometimes it's just not the most pleasant experience. And so there's things we can do on our part, I think, to help that along because that is the heart of God. What was it that motivated you to write this book, Paul?
Well, I love that quote, and I remember hearing that line at some point early in my Christian life too. And of course there's a truth to it, right? That on our way to being fully sanctified and glorified, turns out that we're still a little bit of a mess. And when we are actually in community together and we can't just keep up the facade, then inevitably we're going to run into that. I think the book in a lot of ways came out of our experience of living and teaching and working in Christian community and the goodness of that, but also the way in which it's never this pristine or ideal thing. I kind of riff off of the title of a classic work on Christian community by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastor and theologian. And in his book, Life Together, he talks about how Christian community is never some ideal, but the reality of the people that God has put us with. And so I think that's exactly right. And there are things we can do to lean into the community that God has given us, to deepen it, to strengthen it, and for it to become a real way in which we meet the Lord and we grow in our walk with God.
Wow, that's so good. I want to encourage our listeners, maybe they had a church hurt experience and they were burnt out on so many levels. And now maybe they've just retreated to being with themselves or just a few people. And they're just kind of taking a beat, taking a rest. And I just think, the Lord sees you. He knows you. But maybe it's time to get back in. On any beautiful piece of music, there are those little indicators to take a rest. And that doesn't mean that you've jumped out of the symphony. All that means is you're sitting there and you're tapping your foot because you're just waiting to get back in and to jump back in when it's your note. And we're just going to trust the Lord for you, dear friend, that it's maybe time to jump back in and give people another chance to be controlled by the Holy Spirit this time. Maybe this is your chance to be more controlled by the Holy Spirit. Perhaps there were some things going on in your world that encouraged you to want to separate. So I think, Paul, you're going to help us to walk through this chance to regather. And let's start with that point in your book, the importance together.
Yeah, there's something beautiful that you see in the story of Scripture, that when God is up to something big, almost always, I don't want to say every time, but almost always something of real significance in Scripture happens with people gathered around a table. And there's something about that basic fact of our human existence, right, that we need to eat and that we can do this together as a community. That's really spiritually significant. And, that again, it's not an ideal. It's not pristine. It's not always easy. In fact, sometimes it's a bit complicated, right, to sit side by side with other people and to really seek to know each other and be known around the table. But time and again in Scripture, we see, you know, Jesus doing this. He's eating with people, sometimes the wrong people, hundreds of some in the day. And that encounter around the table with Christ is transformative. And so, you know, I wonder what it would be like if we saw the practice of sharing a meal with fellow believers, not as just a kind of nice thing to do once in a while, but a place in which the Lord wants to meet us and wants to transform us more into the image of his son.
Now here, Paul, I hear you proposing more potlucks, and I'm on that plan.
Let's go. Let's
absolutely.
Go. They're so good, right?
Absolutely. I'm on the potluck plan, and any chance we can share, you know, just that common need to eat together is, it's very intimate, isn't it? To share a meal with someone, to sit next to them, to be putting things into your mouth, drinking while you're communicating.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, it's what we see, you know, at the very beginning of the church after the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes and Peter gives this sermon, a beautiful sermon in Acts 2. And, you know, many, 3,000, it says, are added to their number that day. And what do they do? So what's sort of the sign of this new life in Christ, of these brand new believers, right? Well, they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Mm. And it says there in Acts 2, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. It's just a beautiful picture of having been transformed by the gospel, having received God's grace, the joy and the fellowship that you want to share with each other. And again, look, I've been at some potlucks that felt like that, and I'm sure we've all been at some that were awkward or tricky, or if you do this long enough, right?
Yeah.
If it's genuine fellowship and community, you will have difficulty. It's not a sign that it's failing. But this is really, I think it really is sort of central to our Christian life together.
So gather, be together, share a meal, have more potlucks. It's a beginning. It's extending your hand across the aisle and the table. Well, let's go on to pray. Prayer is a really important aspect of all of our lives. And how does that work within our shared community?
It's such a good question. You know, prayer is, of course, one of those things that we know is essential to our life with God. And I think most of us feel a desire to grow in the life of prayer. And yet, for many of us, it's kind of the solitary project. You know, maybe you have a good friend you pray with, and that's beautiful. It's such a gift. But for many of us, it's kind of this thing that we want to be doing more of. We want to be growing in this conversation with the Lord. And one of the gifts of, I think, the sort of prayer traditions of the church, and even in what we see in Scripture, is this idea that when we come together to pray, something special happens. I mean, we see it in Christ's promise, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. And so we certainly can and should pray on our own, but when we come together to pray, we're able to bear each other's burdens. We're able to pick each other up. And I just think, especially in our time, I mean, this has always been true, but in our time of busyness and distraction and the noise we live with day in and day out, the gift of coming together to pray with others, where we can support and listen to and lift each other up, it's just such a way in which God can grow us. And so, if I had to say what makes Christian community, it would simply be we eat together and we pray together. And when we do those things, deep and spiritual friendship can form.
It's not complicated, is it, Paul?
It's not complicated. And that's not to say that it's easy, right? It takes time and intention. It takes sacrifice to regularly do these things. But I do think we overthink it sometimes, Donna, and that it's the basics and commitment to them with others that can make the biggest difference.
It really can. I know my heart is just so for my county It's kind of a depressed county, and we just see a lot of social and economic needs. And so the Lord gave me idea of just take my county and divide it up. And we're going to divide it into sections, and we're going to hand out those different sections to people in our church who want to commit to pray, make that their section of our county. And I feel like that's going to draw us together. We've got a common goal. We have a common heart, and we're going to be lifting up our voices and maybe even be ready to, you know, bring more people into our own little congregation and, you know, and communicate that to the other churches. And then we're going to put a little card together and send that out to all these addresses and say, we prayed for you, and just letting them know that there is a congregation that prayed for them. And I just feel like that's, I think, going to draw our hearts closer together and draw our hearts closer for our community. And so I'm kind of looking forward to that little prayer event. And it's one of my favorite parts of our church service when they say, you know, does anyone have a prayer request? And it's just beautiful to sit back and hear these hearts and really communicating needs. So that's a great point, Paul.
That's beautiful. And you know what happens when you do that is you find yourself growing in God's love for those people and that place, right?
You have another point in your book, study.
You know, study is one of those things that we have mixed experiences with. I think of when I was first introduced to some Christian poetry, some classic Christian poets like George Herbert, who's a 17th century English poet. And I'll just be honest, Donna, I didn't understand what I was reading. I had no idea how to read a good poem. But there's something that happens when we come together in our reading and our thinking where we can see more than we could ever see on our own. And I found, you know, there's this elderly professor, retired English professor in our church. He started to talk about the beautiful devotional poetry of George Herbert. And all of a sudden, I was seeing something new about Christ and his love and his hospitality toward me. And that experience, I think, is pretty common that we, you know, we long to know our minds. God gave us minds, but we often find it difficult to read and think deeply on our own. And again, I think distraction's a big part of this. Right, there's so many other things that call for our attention. So what a gift it is then when you can gather in a living room or around a table with your fellow believers to really consider closely and carefully together the Word of God or a classic of theology or of devotional literature. What can we see together that we would never see on our own? How can we learn together to love the Lord with our minds, as he invites and commands us to do? And so I think that study really needs to be reimagined in our church. It's not just for the academics, not for the professionals, and it's not something you have to do on your own, but it can really be part of our community together.
That's so good. My gift is encouragement. And so the deep study of God's word, I so appreciate the teachers who are gifted in that area, and they dig in and they get all these little juicy morsels, and they get into the Greek and they show me, like, you know, the scripture in living color. And I appreciate that part of the body of Christ. I love our pastor, and he does a good dig, and he's able to chew it back up and give it to us. And so I do appreciate that part of the body of Christ. But to get that, you've got to be interacting with the body of Christ.
That's right. That's right. And I think, you know, there's some insecurity here for a lot of us because we know there's somebody who's much smarter, who knows the Greek or whatever. And that can, I think, intimidate us. Like, oh, well, my only role here is to listen and learn because I don't have anything to bring. And I think, you know, that the and teachers help us awake to the wonder of God's word and all that we can, you know, the mystery that we can swim in that is our faith, the incredible truth of Christ being fully God and fully man. I mean, that's a mystery we could spend the rest of our lives thinking about, wondering about, praying about, and never exhaust it. And so I do think, you know, that we need to kind of get over our intimidation, that the thinking is really just something the experts do. God has given us minds, and most of us, with a normal sort of degree of ability, most of us can use them to honor him. A friend of mine once put it this way: we want to know, we want to study what we love. We want to pay attention to who he is and what he said. And so I just want to encourage, like, I love your word of encouragement. I just want to encourage ordinary Christians. You don't have to get it 100% right for your study to be full and for God to use it in your life.
Now, you are an author being published by Moody Publishers. I also do work for the Moody Bible Institute, and especially this great devotional. So if our listeners are looking for a wonderful study helper, I tell you, Today in the Word is wonderful. It's a daily devotional from the Moody Bible Institute. A lot of it's written by the Moody professors. And so they are digging deep and pulling out some beautifully rich truths that you can then chew on. So if you want to come together and be a part of a great study, it's just, I mean, you can read the whole thing in 2 minutes. It's an easy read. We even read it for you. You can click on the little play button, and it's just a real delight. So if you are ready to chomp a little deeper, I just want to encourage you to check out Today in the Word. Well, you've got another word for us. How about discernment? How does that play in with really growing a community?
I think a lot of us, sometimes you grow up in the church, have this idea that God has a certain call on your life or a certain plan for your life, but he's not going to tell you what it is for some reason that we never can really say. And you've got to sort of crack the code. You've got to figure out exactly this one path that God is planning for you but not telling you about.
Kind of like an escape room, right? Just, you know, all the clues are in there, but you've got to, you know, figure them out.
Yeah, right. Which is just a little odd if you think about that implies about who God is, right? If that's actually what he's doing, withholding what we need to know from us, right? And in fact, when you pay attention in the New Testament, especially in the writings of Paul, to this language of calling, of vocation, which just means to be called, Paul actually tells us really clearly what it is. He doesn't hold it back. It's not something we have to guess. And it actually isn't all that related to our career. It's simply to follow Christ. That's the call. So what does that mean for our community? Well, you still have something to discern together, which is, what does that mean for me? How am I meant to follow Christ? But I think starting there, instead of this kind of code-cracking escape room approach to calling and discernment, is much more helpful, because again, the Lord gives us what we need. He gives us clear instruction in Scripture. He gives us his Holy Spirit to illumine Scripture and to help us understand it. And he gives us community to listen to God's call with us. And I think that there's a real need in the church, not just for young adults, who's, you know, primarily that's who I'm working with, 20-somethings, but for all of us at every stage of life, to ask this question again: what are you calling me to do? How am I meant to follow Christ to the cross? And community here, I think, can be one of the ways God uses to help us hear his voice. Guided by Scripture, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God gives us each other to notice things we might miss, to hear things we're not paying attention to confirm what the Lord is doing. And I think we all have experiences of this with trusted friend, and I think there's more we can do in the church today to really lean in and support each other in this work of discernment.
I know, I was thinking about the book of James, and it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives freely to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. And so it says it right there. We can cry out for wisdom.
That's right.
And he'll give it to us, and we'll know it's from him. You know, hearing the heart of God to discern that wisdom.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. So, yeah, we do hear from God, my friend. We hear God's voice, that still small voice in our spirit. And I think his voice gets louder when we allow the church to provide a chamber for it to echo from. And we can hear his voice, you know, as people speak into our lives and confirm our calling. Maybe you don't know what your spiritual gift is. Maybe ask some godly people who have wisdom to say, what do you see? What are you seeing in me? Do you see someone that could teach? You know, do you see someone who encourages other people? You know, and just get that feedback, which is so important as we linger together in a shared space.
Yeah, that's right. All asking this question, right? What is God inviting me into? And I think that community, real community, not just surface level, but real community, the kind of community that's formed by sharing some life together, by really being committed in friendship to each other, this can be such a powerful way in which we can hear the Lord's call and follow his lead, and can strengthen us too, right? Because it does get hard sometimes. And if we're going it alone, then it's just easier to get weary and it's easy to get discouraged. But that's where community can really support and keep us pointed in the right direction, right? Going in the right path.
Mm. We've been enjoying our time together with Paul Gutteker, and he has written a book by Moody Publishers. It's called Practicing Life Together, A Common Rule for Christian Growth. Thank you so much, Paul, for spending your time today with us on Mark and Friends.
Donna, I really appreciate this conversation and your questions, and I hope this has been an encouragement to your listeners.
And thank you, dear listener, for being a part of Mark and Friends. Well, Paul has also allowed us to be able to give away some of his books from Moody Publishing. It's called Practicing Life Together, A Common Rule for Christian Growth. If you'd like to try and win a copy, go ahead and call the radio station. Leave a voicemail that you're calling about Mark and Friends and the current book from Paul Gutteker. Thanks so much for listening. We're a ministry of Great News Media. We're a listener-supported Christian radio network, and we so appreciate your support. Have a great day.